Good morning. Welcome to this audio service of worship for Westminster Presbyterian Church in Abilene, Texas. Printed below the recording is the bulletin, our order of worship, also attached as a PDF if you want to download and print it out. Information will be distributed this week regarding new things we hope to do in the upcoming weeks. We feel very blessed that you have chosen to listen to our worship service. Thank you. Let us now turn to worshiping the living God. Lead us, Holy Spirit, in the call to worship.
Our help is in the name of the Lord,
Maker of heaven and earth.
Beloved, we are God's children now.
When Christ is revealed, we will be like him.
Worthy is Christ, the Lamb who was slain.
Blessing and honor and glory to God.
Let us pray. Almighty God, through your only Son you overcame death and opened to us the gate of everlasting life. Grant that we who celebrate our Lord's resurrection may, through the renewing power of your Spirit, arise from the death of sin to the life of righteousness. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Yeah.
Remember that our Lord Jesus is with us in our weaknesses, since in every respect he was tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with boldness approach the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbors, first using the prayer of confession and then silently. Let us pray. Glory to you, O God. You have won victory over death, raising Jesus from the grave and giving us eternal life. Glory to you, O Christ, for us and for our salvation. You overcame death and opened the gate to everlasting life. Glory to you, O Holy Spirit. You lead us into the truth. Glory to you, O Blessed Trinity, now and forever. Amen. Brothers and sisters, the promise of forgiveness is for us and for our children, for everyone whom God calls. The gift of the Holy Spirit is ours to receive. Call on God's name every day. Give thanks for the words and deeds of Jesus who revealed God's love for us and enlists us as disciples. I declare to you in the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven.
Reading today is from the book of Psalms, Psalm 116, verses 1 through 4, and moving to verses 12 through 19. Let us listen for the word of the Lord. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications, because he inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I will call on him as long as I live. The snares of death encompassed me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, save my life. What shall I return to the Lord for all his bounty to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious is the sight of the Lord, is the death of his faithful ones. O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the child of your serving girl. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you a thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all of his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. The inspired word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Holy God, word made flesh, let us come to this holy scripture open to being surprised. Silence our agendas and worries. Banish our assumptions. Cast out our casual detachment. Confound our expectations. Clear the cobwebs from our ears and penetrate the corners of our hearts with your holy word. We know that you can. We pray that you will, and we wait with great anticipation. Amen. Our sermon text is from the Gospel of Jesus Christ according to Luke, chapter 24, verses 13 through 35. Let us listen for the inspired word of the Lord. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And Jesus said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk alone?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" Jesus asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him." Then Jesus said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself and all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening, and the day is now nearly over." So Jesus went in to stay with them. When Jesus was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour, they got up and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road, and how he had made known to them in the breaking of the bread. This reading has been the inspired word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
What is your favorite type of book to read? Do you like fiction? If so, do you prefer science fiction, romance novels, westerns, thrillers, fiction based on historical events, or classical literature? Do you like nonfiction? If so, do you prefer history, books about science, biography, politics, or books with Christian themes? The books we read, the blogs we read, the material we read on the internet, social media, newspapers, all play a part in shaping how we look at the world. If we read mostly politics, we see the world, our reality, through a political lens. If we read fiction books about the apocalypse, well, we see through a lens of the end of the world. Very scary during this time. Our reading habits are like putting on a pair of glasses that affects the way we see reality, the world. When we read through the New Testament last year, we got a chance to see the world through the Bible. Our reality, the way we looked at the world, was influenced greatly by the New Testament. This is why consistent Bible reading is important. It doesn't mean we don't read other things, but we want to stay grounded in the Bible as our foundation for how we view the world. A Christian views the world through the lens of Jesus Christ. We want this to be the main way we see reality. And world events change the way we see reality. There was a before and after regarding September the 11th, 2001. Pearl Harbor was a before and after event, which changed the way people looked at the world for the rest of their lives. The development of the atomic bomb ushered in a new way of looking at the world, a new and scary reality. A new way of looking at the world has now emerged. We are going through one of those events. This virus will have a before and after time. The way we see reality will be changed forever. Today's Bible story is a foundation story about how the disciples' reality was changed. They saw a new way of looking at the world. They had been devastated at first. They misunderstood exactly how Jesus would change the world. There would be a time before Jesus and a time after Jesus that shaped all of reality. And before Jesus explained who he was in the scriptures and prophecy he fulfilled, the disciples were downcast. They thought the new normal was odd and sad and hard to understand. They had heard these stories about the resurrection from the women, but they were skeptical, it seems. They misunderstood the new reality, the new normal. They were expecting a new normal in which Jesus, the Messiah, would be a conquering emperor who takes the world by force. But Jesus, using the scripture, explained the new normal for them. And through the breaking of the bread, they saw and understood the Son of God had brought not the sword of death, but the sword of peace and life. The new normal for the disciples would be as people who loved God more than anything and saw the world through Jesus' eyes as they sought to help their neighbors and make the world a better place. Jesus never once said this new normal would be easy. Jesus taught them something important, that he would be with them, that he would strengthen them, and that he would show them the way through the new normal by the power of the Holy Spirit. There will be a new normal for how we do church, for a while at least. There will be a new normal that will require creativity to enable us to be the feet and hands of Jesus in our community. But our new normal needs to be grounded in the gospel. And that will not always be easy. With all the fear, anxiety, suffering, and death, the new normal for now seems truly horrific. It is disturbing. But right now is the time to ground ourselves in the gospel and the love of Jesus. Imagine now that we are on a walk to Emmaus. Jesus is with us. He will explain to us how the new normal, whatever it may be, will not be without him. It will not be without God in our midst. It will not be without the Holy Spirit working on our hearts and giving us strength. If our faith means anything to us, it means God will not forsake us in our time of need. This new normal may present us with the opportunity to emerge stronger as a church, as a community of love and compassion. Read the Gospels again to strengthen those glasses by which we see the world. Read Proverbs to give us common sense in this uncommon time. Read Paul to show us how to stay strong in adversity. For this is our walk to Emmaus moment. We will need prayers to strengthen us, to cry out to God for guidance. We will need to be able to see the world through the lens of Jesus Christ. We will need to be creative in the short time to make sure we are doing what we can for our brothers and sisters in the faith and also for those who are suffering out in the community. Christ will be there during this new normal, this new way of looking at reality. Let us listen to him as the disciples did on their walk to Emmaus. Let us show the true power of prayer to communicate with God. Let us use the sacraments. Next week will be communion as a way to strengthen our faith through this new normal. May God open our eyes on our walk to Emmaus as he did the disciples. And may we be blessed on our journey as God uses us to bless those around him. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you. Let us now say what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us now lift up our prayers to the Lord. Let us pray. Almighty God, you have promised to hear when we pray in the name of your Son. Therefore, in trust, we pray for the church today. O God, enliven the church for its mission during this time. Let us be salt of the earth and a light to the nation. Breathe fresh life into your people. Give us power to reveal Christ in both word and action. We pray for this world during this time. Creator of all, lead us and every people into ways of justice and peace, that we may respect one another in freedom and truth. Awaken in us a sense of wonder for the earth and all that is in it. We pray for the community of Abilene, O God. And God of truth, inspire with your wisdom those whose decisions affect the lives of others, that all may act with integrity and courage. Give grace to all whose lives are linked with ours. May we serve Christ in one another and love as he loves us. We lift up these concerns. We pray for all those affected by the coronavirus. We pray for all who are filled with worry, fear, and anxiety, not only about the virus, but financial issues as well. We pray for all members of the church and our friends. We pray for all who are listening today. May the Holy Spirit wrap them in the love of God. God of hope, comfort, restore all who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. May they know the power of your healing love. Make us willing agents of your compassion. Strengthen us as we share in making people whole. We remember with thanksgiving those who died in the faith of Christ and those whose faith is known to you alone, O God. Into your hands we commend them. We lift up these blessings and joys in thanksgiving to you, O God, for your gospel and you, O God. From you comes faith, hope, and love for our church community. We love one another, O God, and pray for you daily, for all those who are working and risking their lives to keep us safe and functioning, from grocery store cashiers to doctors to nurses to volunteers to people who keep the water and electricity running. We pray for ourselves and the ministries of our church. Lord, you have called us to serve you. Grant that we may minister in your name with your love in our hearts, your truth in our minds, your strength in our wills, until at the end of our journey, we know the joy of our homecoming and the welcome of your embrace. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Amen. In the spirit of the first believers, we are called to share our goods in common and to contribute to the needs of the poor with glad and generous hearts. If you would like to donate to the One Great Hour of Sharing or to tithe, you can mail it to the addresses found at the end of the bulletin.
Praise Him, all of the heavenly hosts.
Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. May the peace of Jesus Christ be upon your house. Amen.